This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Our scripture again, we've had the basic scriptures all had been Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as we've been talking about our commission to go and to evangelize, to do the work God has called us to do. So again, we start with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then we'll go to Matthew 21, 28 through 32. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we find again, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then in Matthew 21, beginning with verse 28, Jesus speaking, what do you think? Jesus said, a man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your mind and believe him. Let us pray. God, our creator and sustainer, we thank you right now for this opportunity to hear from you. We ask, God, that you speak to us, that each one of us may hear the word that you have for each one of us, that we may not just be hearers, but followers of your word to do your will. Thank you for this blessed opportunity for all who will hear, then for all who will do your will. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know in the Gospel of Matthew 22, we find the great commandment. And the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. He commands us to love. Tell somebody around you, he commands us to love. And then in Matthew 28, he commissions us to go. He commands us to love. He commissions us to go. Now, the reason we're going is because we're commissioned and commanded to love.
Amen.
We're going because we love. We're commanded to love. But we're going because he has commissioned us to go and make disciples, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We're commissioned to go. Commanded to love, commissioned to go. And when we see this, we come to this day and look at this passage. And in this passage, we see that a father is talking to his sons. And he goes to his first son, asks him to go into the vineyard. The son says, I will not. How disrespectful. The father asks the son to go into the vineyard. And the son says, I will not. How degrading, how despicable, how evil. A father who definitely must have taken care of him and the family, who has supplied the needs of the family, who actually has some work for his sons to do. But he asked his son, go into the vineyard. And this son said, I will not. Now, when I was growing up, you didn't have time to say much more after you said, I will not. You weren't going to be asked no more questions, no more conversation. But he said, I will not. But then the father went to the second son and asked him to go into the vineyard. And the second son said, I go, sir. That's what he hear. The father went to the second son, and the second son said, I go, sir. Yeah. That's what we want to hear. I go, sir. Right. I need you to go into the vineyard. I go, sir. That's what we're looking for. How proud that father must have been when he heard the declaration of the second son. I go, sir. But that's not how the story ends. The one who said, I will not go. And King James said he repented. And ESV says he changed his mind and he went. But the second son who said, I go, sir, didn't go. And Jesus asked them, which of these sons do you believe did the will of the Father?
All right.
And they said, which one?
The first.
The one who said, I will not, but repented and went. Wow. We all love our children, and those who are going to have children in the future, you love your children. And we all love when they can respond to us, to whatever we say, yes, I will do exactly that, Daddy. Yes, I'll do that, Mama. Yes, I'll do that. The dishes need to be washed. Oh, yes, I go, sir. I got the dishes handled. You just go on to bed, everything okay, I got it handled. I go, sir. Yes, I go. But ultimately, what we're looking for are those who actually do what is asked to be done.
Yes. All right.
And Jesus was kind of high on this doing what you're asked to do thing. He kind of was high on making sure that when you're saying I'm going to do something or something needs to get done, he's not kind of high on us just saying things, because he kind of looks at folks and says, well, you say things, but your heart is far from me.
Come on now.
And he talks about this thing about actually doing, putting into action what you say you're going to do. So much so that he told this story about a man who was building a house. And a lot of times we hear this story, we think Jesus is telling people how to build a house and how to lay a foundation, but that's not what he's really talking about. He's really talking about doing the will of his Father. He says that he called one of them wise and one of them foolish. And he said the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The house looked good, it's standing there, it's built on the sand, it looks like a great house. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Now, can you see both of those houses? You know, they look good. One built on sand, one built on rock. They both look good, look like a house you want to be in. But then something happens. The rain came and the storms came. And Jesus said when the rain came, the one that built his house upon the sand, that house collapsed. The foundation was shaking. He said, but the man who built his house upon a rock, the foundation was solid. The rock, that house stood through the storm, through the rain, through the wind.
Yes, sir.
Through the flood, that house stood. Now, it is a lesson on foundation building. Mm-hmm. But then he interprets and said, Those who would hear these words of mine and follow them is like the man who built his house upon the rock. But those who hear these words of mine and will not follow them is like the man who built his house upon the sand. And that house will collapse. I like to thank God for giving us warnings.
Yes.
And that he's not speaking eschatologically, or he's not speaking about end times. In other words, it would be a tragedy that if you thought you had a great house and you didn't find out till it's all over that your house couldn't stand.
Come on, preacher.
But to be honest about it, many times you don't really know that you have a leak in your house
until it rains.
And you can shout along with me and thank God through the ups and the downs we have in life, because God allows us to have some difficult times in our lives just so we can see what kind of building we get.
All right now. Yes, sir.
I don't think you heard me. We may want to complain about the difficult times in our lives and may not be excited and may want it always to be smooth sailing in all of our lives. But it's not until somebody does something. It's not until somebody says something. It's not until somebody posts something on Facebook. It's not until somebody actually called and hung up. It's not until somebody has said what somebody else said they said, but you didn't know they said what they said, but you found out that they said what they said. It's not until that happens that you realize I may not be made of what I thought I was made of. And it's good to have, I'm glad the choir is saying that, it's good to know that we have God's grace.
All right.
Yeah, we're not perfect. But you do realize that when we talk and we look in society, why we have to have Black Lives Matter is because we could tell in our society as systems are put together, as systems put in place, we can definitely tell that there's a difference that Black lives are treated from other lives. We could tell many times that there are things happening in our community. And even when we look at Black men and begin to think of Black fathers, many times we think of Black fathers and think of fatherhood and those sort of things. We're quick to go to the point that, yeah, he might be a father, but he might be the daddy, but he ain't really no father.
My Lord.
Yes, we've experienced some stuff with folk not paying child support. We've experienced some folk with having children here and there and everywhere and going about to do what they want to do. But the truth be told, statistics will bear out that you have more fathers caring for their children than those that don't.
That's right.
You never get it on the radio, you never get it on television. But the truth of the matter is that there are many more who are doing that, and then those who have not done it for whatever reason, might have been incarcerated, might have had other issues, may have other situations, but we got to be careful about how we judge others on what others have done.
Amen.
Jesus saying to the righteous folk, he said, be careful. Well, he didn't really say be careful. He said on this one, he didn't say be careful. Another passage, he said be careful. But on this one, he comes straight out and say, the prostitutes and the tax collectors will get to heaven before you.
All right.
In other words, the folks you're looking down on in society. Let me tell you, the prostitutes and tax collectors, you couldn't get any worse than that in the society in which Jesus lived. Yeah, you couldn't get any lower than that. They already had a bad image of women in the society, but women who were prostitutes got even a less honor in society. And tax collectors, oh my goodness. Let me tell you why they didn't like tax collectors. Tax collectors, if you understand that the Jewish culture, they were under Roman occupation. The Roman government was in charge, and the tax collector, Roman government, said to some of the Jewish citizens, said, listen, we want you to collect taxes for Roman government. You collect taxes for Rome. You have our full authority. Our tax collector's office behind you. The police are behind you. The Roman government stands behind you. So you collect taxes for the Roman government. Now, this is what they told them. We only need $10 from every person. Mm-hmm. You make sure we get our $10. That's all we want. You could charge anything more than that you want to for doing the work we ask you to do. So, like any good blooded person with such an opportunity, when they come to your door, they'll tell you, all right, I'm collecting taxes for the Roman government. And if you don't pay, you're going to be in trouble. So we need you to pay $50. Everybody $50. Of course, $10 going to the Roman government. Where the $40 going? And the people knew it. Because you know it can't get out so much. But there was nothing they could do about it because that was the system. So what did they do? They just got mad at the tax collectors. And they didn't like the tax collectors. They didn't want to be around the tax collectors. They talked about them. Even though the tax collectors got more, and the more money the tax collectors got, the more money the tax collectors were having. They didn't care what you thought about them. They could move to another side of town. And Jesus knew in this culture, that's how they felt about the tax collectors, how mean they, how evil tax collectors were in their dealings with people, and how the people were quote unquote justified in their feelings about tax collectors. So they felt like tax collectors never will have a chance to make it to heaven. Because they were liars and cheaters. They were taking advantage of folk every day of their lives. Who could stand a tax collector? But then Jesus chose a tax collector to be one of his disciples. So here they are being able to judge. And I'm saying to us in society, yes, there are things that have happened in our lives that we've been hurt by folk. We've been hurt by situations. We've been hurt by circumstances. But be mindful of what Jesus is saying to us. Be mindful of what the kingdom of God is all about.
Yes, sir.
Be mindful that those who love God should not be the ones who are going around judging everybody about every little thing. We should be the ones that are encouraging those who are not doing right to do right so God can get glory. I know we have to have good self-esteem. We have to think highly of ourselves, but the Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. You ought to think in such a way that you are grateful for what God has done in your life. But see how you can use your life to help somebody else to get what God wants them to get.
Amen.
How can I let my light shine so others can see our good works and give God glory? How can we help those who may not know Christ to come to know Christ? Can we help them by talking about them and talking them down? Or can we help them by talking to them and encourage them to do what's right? It's clear what God's will is. I don't even have to tell y'all no more. We done taught this at First African Baptist Church for many, many years. I just have to ask you, what is God's will?
That none should perish.
And what does that mean? God wants who to go to heaven?
Everybody.
And who's everybody?
Everybody.
And who's everybody?
Everybody.
And everybody mean who?
Everybody.
All of us. You know, everybody means the folk you like. Everybody means the folk you don't like.
That's right.
Amen.
Let that seep in a second. He wants everybody to be saved. If they act like they're not saved, they might just not be saved.
All right now.
And then that's how they're supposed to act.
That's right.
I say it.
All right.
If they're acting like they're not saved, it could very well be because they are not saved.
Yes.
But those of us who are saved ought to act like we saved enough to care about the folk who are not saved.
Amen.
So they can be saved. You do know when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let me tell you what we said. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose from the grave. I want to be saved. And we came to Jesus as we were, weary, worn, and sad. We found in him a resting place, and he's made us glad.
Amen.
But Jesus says, if you would come after me, if you would follow me, now you have to deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. And when he said, come follow me, guess what we said? I go, sir. I said, when he said, follow me, we said, I go, sir. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and I promise him that I will serve him till I go, sir. If the Lord needs somebody,
come on now.
Here am I.
Send me.
Oh Lord.
Send me.
Send me. I go, sir. And yet there are folk in our communities and other folk, when you bring up the name of Jesus, I don't want to hear that stuff. No, you going to church. I ain't going to church. I ain't doing that. I don't feel like that. No, yeah, y'all do all that church stuff. I don't feel like that church stuff. I don't want to do that. But then when somebody needs something to eat, those same folk will go feed them. They need a word of compassion. They ain't talking them down. They're right there with them trying to help build them up to encourage them to do better.
Amen.
The ones who said, I ain't going. I don't care about nobody. But then they begin to help everybody. Jesus says to us today, there are those who might just might make it in that we were trying not to see in heaven.
My Lord.
And if you have an attitude that there's some folk you just don't want to see in heaven, I said, if you got an attitude that there's some folk you don't want to see, I said, if you got the attitude that there's some folk you don't want to see in heaven, don't worry about it, you won't.
Ah. Yes, sir.
I'm done. That's all Jesus is saying to us. That's the message. That's all Jesus is saying to us. If we're saying, I go, then we need to really go. Jesus was teaching one day in the house, and his mother, sister was looking for him, and they went and they said, Jesus, your mother out here, your brother's out here looking for you. And Jesus, while he's teaching whatever, he said, oh, no. My mother, my brother, my sisters are those who would do the will of my Father.
That's right. Amen.
Again, he's back to doing it. Listen, we can look like we're going to do his will. We can look like we're going to love everybody. We can look like we care for everybody. But let me tell you a little bit about this looking like. If you're in Bible study, you'll remember from in the book of Mark how there was a fig tree that looked like it had figs.
Yeah.
All right.
Looked like.
It had leaves like it was going to have some figs on it.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't the season for it, it looked like it had figs. And Jesus wanted some figs. So the closer he got to the fig tree, the more excited he got about the figs he's going to eat. He said, oh, these going to be some good figs. Because there's no other tree got figs on it. But this one looks like it got figs. It seemed like it got figs. It's talking to me like it had figs. But when he got to the tree, it had no figs on it.
Lord Jesus.
And in Matthew it says, he cursed the tree and it dried up. It withered immediately. In Mark it says, they left and came back and the tree had withered. And it says, wow, Jesus, how did tree wither? He said, there'll never be any fruit on it again. Well, why was that? What that happened? Now we can say he might have got a little upset because it looked like, but didn't.
All right.
He said, I go, sir, to get you some figs.
Yes.
I go, sir,
yes.
But produce no figs. And it withered. The lesson Jesus gives after that is, have faith in God, because they said, well, how can the tree wither? He said, if you say to the mountain, move, it shall be moved. He said, if you have faith in God and you pray, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And if you pray and ask in his name, he said he would do it because you have faith. and not doubt, he said he would do it. And along with that, in Mark, he says, if you have faith and belief, he said, then you can forgive whoever and whatever folk have against you, whatever you have against them. He said, you can forgive them of that. And when you pray, he'll give you the desires of your heart. What I'm saying is this. If our will get lost in God's will, we can end up with all the stuff we want and even more. What if when we ran into all those objectionable folk and the folk that we don't like and the folk that don't like us, what would happen if you prayed that they would be saved? What would happen if you did what you could to help them to come to know Christ in a very special way? What if they are what you want to call a deadbeat dad? What would happen if you reason with them, talk with them, and help them to see the purpose of what they ought to do, and don't give up on them, but continue to work in their lives in such a way where they can see Christ and realize that they have to take care of their children and their families because that's what God wants them to do. They're the ones who probably said, I won't, but they will if somebody just encourages them. What would happen if we would just decide we want to do things God's way and we want to love like he wants us to love and care like he wants us to care, give like he wants us to give, live like he wants us to live, and ask him to help us with our shortcomings.
Amen.
And then when other people see our shortcomings, they will come to us and let us know where we're short and encourage us to do better.
Amen.
That's why the church exists, to encourage one another.
Yes.
It never was existed to tear down one another.
Right.
We exist to be the church, to let our light shine, to help each other to grow in God and be all he wants us to be.
Amen.
So it's not so much what we say. It really is about what we do.
Amen.
It's great to say the good stuff. I'm not saying start telling everybody, I ain't doing it. I don't want to do that. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying even when we say I go, it'll be good to go. And if you say, I won't, it still will be good to go.
Yes.
He commissioned us to go. He empowers us to go. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He says, and you shall receive power.
Yes, sir.
And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world.
Amen.
If you've accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, he's given you the power to go. Well, what kind of power did he give me, Pastor? I don't remember receiving that power. I don't know how I got this superpower to go and tell folk about it. Well, you got the power similar to the way that Superman got his power.
My Lord.
Yeah, that's how you got your power. Well, how did Superman get his power? Superman got his power because he's on planet Earth. And because he's on this Earth, his power comes because we have the sun. And on this earth, he's there with the sun, and when the sun shines and he's where the sun is, he's able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Yeah, he's faster than a locomotive.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he could stop bullets. But Superman could do all that stuff because of the sun. I just want you to know that when you came to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have power.
Yes, sir.
All because of the sun.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the sun that just shines in the sky, but I'm talking about the sun who came through 42 generations.
Yes.
I'm talking about the sun that went about doing good.
Yes.
I'm talking about the sun who allowed men to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. I'm talking about the sun who hung on the cross for your sins and my sins. I'm talking about the son who died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him on a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night. But early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. Power over the grave. Victory over death. He ascended into heaven. Sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to empower us to do the work God called us to do. What a mighty God we serve. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all the honor. He's worthy of all the glory.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, we can do the will of our Father. He's empowered us to do it. What we have to do is say, yes, Lord, use me. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me when I get it wrong. Empower me to get it right. So my will can be lost in yours. There may be those here today who said, I need the Lord in my life. I need this superpower to help me to make it every step of the way. We give you an opportunity to come give me your hand, give God your heart. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there may be others who've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but do not have a church home and would like to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist. Won't you just walk down the aisles, give me your hand, give God your heart. Won't you come today? We'd love for you to have this relationship with Christ. We'd love for you to have the power to do the work God has called you to do. Won't you come? Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.